We want you to turn this morning to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21. We want to speak this morning, the Lord willing, on when God makes all things new. Tonight, we bring the message on when God wipes away all tears from our eyes. We've been almost 2 years lecturing to you from the book of the Revelation. And we're coming now to wind up this great book. So this morning on when God makes all things new. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. As we come this morning to bring a message to you on when God makes all things new, the only thing I can do is to give you an outline and talk about as much as time will permit, and to give you chapter and verse for you to read in your recites. And people who may be listening to this tape, we trust that you listen with an open mind and an open heart, and that you will have a Bible by your side. When I refer to scriptures that time will not permit to read, stop your machine. Turn and read these scriptures. After all is said and done, you're not interested in what I think. I'm not necessarily interested in what you think. We're not interested in the traditions of the elders. We're not interested in the theories of man. We want only what the Word of God has to say upon any subject. When God makes all things new, the poets sang about it. All through the Old Testament, God would raise up poets, and they sang about it. Second, the prophets preached about it. Every book in the Old Testament and in the New, the prophets preached about. And third, the patriarchs looked for it. Abraham looked for a city whose maker and builder is God. They looked for it. And the saints, they longed for it. David, symbolizing all of the saints, in the book of Psalms, and the book of Psalms was the hymn book of Israel. That's the only book they had. And they sung most of the psalms. And the saints would sing, and they long for it. And in God's tomorrow, we will have it. Behold, I make all things new. What woman wouldn't want a new dress? What man wouldn't want a new suit of clothes, a new pair of shoes? Every once in a while we want to get a new automobile. The style and the newest affects us. I'm asking two questions in one question. And it'll take 7 questions to answer the one. The question is simply this. When will this be and how? Behold, I make all things new. That's the risen, ascended, glorified Lord that sat upon the throne. He's on that throne right now. reigning in his mediatorial reign as prophet, priest, and king, judge, and mediator. He's fivefold relationship to his people right now. Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne in the heaven. But if we could ever see it, heaven is here as a state. And when you're born again, you're put in heaven, and the heaven is put in you. That phase of the gospel has been lost. We've longed for a beautiful eyes of somewhere, and nobody could ever tell us where, because it's right here. This thing is here. Here is Christ's spiritual kingdom in the midst of the kingdoms of Satan. To me, that's the greatest mystery in the world, how that Almighty God has set up a kingdom right here in this earth, in the midst of the kingdoms of this world that are dominated and operated by Satan. And every parable in the Bible was not given to explain truth, but to hide. Matthew 13, there's seven parables, and all of them given not to explain truth, to reveal it, but to hide it. So that God's people would be shut up to God and God alone to find the revelation. When God makes all things new, when will this be and how? Let me answer that question. First, it'll be when redemption is complete. Our redemption is not complete until the Redeemer returns and glorification is brought in. And there's four aspects to your redemption. In regeneration, God makes us alive. In justification, God makes us right. In sanctification, God makes us holy. In glorification, God makes us beautiful. To me, the most wonderful phase of our salvation is glorification. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation in the Greek means politics. And the beautiful thing about it, we're all elected. Our conversation, our politics are in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 Corinthians 15, he speaks of the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars. Perhaps I'll never be a sun, because that's too much glory for me. I could never be the moon, but that'd be too much glory for me. But perhaps I can be a star. Bible said each star differeth from another star in glory. One of these days, out yonder in glorification, there'll be men like Moses shining like the noonday sun. There'll be men like Joshua. He's a man that made the sun and the moon stand still in the valley of Ajalon. Such power did that man have. Then we're told in the book of Judges that the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. In the second place, when will this be and how? when God makes a new heaven and a new earth, God is going to make all things new. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. The Isaiah, the great prophet of God that preached about it, said that God would make a new heaven. He'd create. The word create demands to bring into existence something that has never been before. I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things, sun, moon, and stars in the earth, is blotted out of his pen. But how will God, make a new heaven and a new earth? Will he make it like he made the first? God never changes his pattern or his program. How did God make the sun, moon, and stars in the beginning? How did God make this earth upon which you and I stand? Well, the Bible tells you five things about how he did it. First, they were made by the hand of God. You like that? Made by the hand of God. That has to be interpreted in the light of spiritual things. God is a spirit. As such, he has no hands, and yet he does. God must talk to us in language so that we can understand. God made the sun, moon, and stars, and this earth planet with his hand. Bible says his right hand. Second, he made it by the word of God. God spoke, there's the sun. God spoke, and there's the moon. God spoke, and there's the star. God spoke, and here's this earth planet. Then he made man, didn't create man. Follow me now. He made man. What's the difference in creation and making? Creation is to bring into existence something that's never been before. But when you make something, you've got to have something to make it. We make automobiles. We've got something here to make them out of. God made man out of the dust of the earth. He had the dust. See, that was created in the beginning. God took the dust of the earth and made Adam. He was a dead man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and he was born adult and born talking and singing and praising God. Just Adam started walking off. Thank you, Father. That one. Now, when you and I are born again, we're born as adults. This crazy idea that we're born as babes, sometimes I have talking that language to get across to you, but we're not babes. We're not a bunch of babies. When you were born again, you was born as an adult. You were born as a baby physically. When you're born again, you're not born as a baby. That is due with size. We think of a baby, the only thing we do is think literally. We can't think no other way. They're born as babes in Christ. You're babes in Christ not in size, but in knowledge. See? In knowledge. You're as big now as you ever will be when you're born again. You're born an adult far as size is concerned. But how big is a soul? Can anybody tell me this morning? That depends on how you're acting. How big is a soul? I don't know. How did God make everything in the beginning? He made it by the word of God. In the next place, he made it by the power of God. All the power that God has. God speaks. There comes the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we are told that there's 120 billion stars in the one galaxy that we live in. The one galaxy that we live in is the sun, moon, stars, and this earth. Four parts of the one galaxy that we live in. You children, sit still. This old man's looking. In the one galaxy that we live in, there's four parts in it. Now you're listening, one sun, one moon, one earth, but 120 billion stars in the one galaxy that we live in. And my father made that. And we're told that there's 40 billion galaxies. Now who got sense enough to get a hold of that? Ladies and gentlemen, the God we serve is a big God. He's able to handle the devil. He's able to handle the demons. He's able to handle everlasting forest. He's able to handle every grasshopper and toadfrog. But God, so far, has not been able to handle us. Far as I see, everything is in the will of God except man. Ladies and gentlemen, we could be in the will of God if we would yield to God and listen to God. We could be in the will of God. In the next place, how did God make the new heavens and earth? How will he? Like he made the old. They were made by the wisdom of God. Did you ever study the wisdom of the sun? Could you have made a better one? Ever studied the wisdom of the moon, the wisdom of the stars? They're moving together in a harmony that's beyond the human conception. The harmony, the tranquility of all of the planetary system. Bible says in Psalms 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. How do the sun, moon, and stars declare the glory of God? In their multiplicity and in their precision moving in unity. Every star is shining. And if they got out of the will of God 1,000,000th part of an inch, there would be a collision in the planets and everything would blow up. And to me, the marvel how that God has been able handle this world for the devil. A fellow said to me the other day, I told him that God ruled this world. He said, Miss Carwell, I don't believe that. I said, well, nobody but a fool or a Christian would believe it. I said, God is ruling this world. Well, he said, I don't think he's doing too much of a job. I said, I think he's doing pretty well with what he's got to rule. And ruling this world with the devil and demons and wicked men and women, I think God's doing pretty well. He's ruling this world in his providential reign. Almighty God providentially is making everything down to the glory. Every wicked man is a puppet in the hand of God. He does what he wants to do. Yet God's will ultimately will be accomplished. God makes the wicked acts of men to become the holy acts of God. They said, we want to kill Jesus. Well, they said, I want him killed, and we're going to use the devil's gang to kill him. Such wisdom. Such wisdom. Not only that, how will God make the new heavens and new earth like he made the old? In the fifth place, it was made by the purposes of God. God had a purpose for the sun, moon, and stars. God had a purpose for this earth, and when they have served their purpose, they will pass away and will be no more. They will be turned back into invisible gases from which they were formed in the beginning. And out of that God will make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 gives you a little picture of how that God will do that. Said God's going to fold them up. He will fold them up. Like folding up a garment, he will fold them up. Question number 3. How, when, and how will God make a new heaven and a new earth? When the holy city comes down to be with man. Revelation chapter 21 tells you that the holy city is coming down to dwell with man. Chapter 21, verse 1 and 2, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven for bride, as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, we're going to say something that's going to be hard for you to believe. God's people is the holy city. See? God's people is the holy city. And I saw the holy city coming down. And that holy city, if you read chapter 21, you'll find that that's the church universal. That's all of the Lord's people. And they're coming down. And it's a city. What is a city? That's the people and their culture. And it's a holy city. A city that needs no light. Neither light of the sun or the moon. And it's the city of the great king. Not only that, but it's a city whose street is pure gold. It's a city whose gates are pearls. And it's a city whose maker and builder is God. Abraham looked to that city. Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose maker and builder is God. When and how will this be? Behold, I make all things new. Are you listening? It'll be when the nations are in subjection to Christ. Chapter 21, verse 24 is a verse that I had to wrestle with for weeks and weeks and weeks to be able to take it. Look at it. And the nations, the word is pluralism, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That is, in the light of the holy city. And the kings, and the word kings is plural, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. When the nations of the earth are in subjection to Christ, they'll be saved nations. That does away with him ruling over this world. There'll be nations with godly leaders. These kings will be God-fearing men who will lead the nations of this earth to honor God and to honor God's structured society. Nations governed with God-fearing men. Nations where there is no wars. Nations where there's no hunger. nations where there is no hunger, no poverty, no strife, and no sickness. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24, "And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick." The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven for their iniquity. Then what is makes us sick? Iniquity. How are we going to admit that? Every sick man that's ever has been, it's iniquity, either by you or by your forefathers. That's got to be so. And we are told in Exodus chapter 32 that the sins of the mothers and fathers will visit to the fourth generation. It's possible for me as a father to live so that in the fourth generation down the road, I'll be responsible for that sick child. My God, if we ever get a hold of that, we will straighten up. I mean to tell you, we're going to straighten up if we can ever get a hold of that. And I'm trying my best to get a hold of it. And I have been for years. In the next place, when will this be and how? When paradise of God is with me. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 to 5, gives you five things that'll be in the paradise of God that's not here now, only in a spiritual way. First, there will be the water of life. Second, there will be the tree of life. Fourth, there'll be the throne of God and of the Lamb. And fourth, there'll be a full vision of God. You and I see through a glass darkly now. But in chapter 22, verse 4, "And they shall see his face." We could see it now if we get all the smog and smoke and sin and corruption out of our way. We could see his face now. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Name written in your forehead. Am I? Mark of the beast is going to be in the forehead, whatever that means. And you and I are going to have a mark in the forehead. When paradise is restored, be a full vision of God. Not only that, but we'll reign forever and ever. See that in verse 5. "There shall be no need, there shall be no night time. They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign." How long? Children, will you look at that? How long? Forever and ever and ever. I don't know how to handle that. My little mind is too finite. I break down when I think of something that never had a beginning and will never have an ending. As a human being, I can't handle it. As a little boy, you sit on the rock and fish. And I think about forever and ever and ever. I'd have to fling the hook out. I couldn't take it any longer. And listen to the birds sing. And look for the grasshopper's jump. Forever and ever. I couldn't take it. But that's what it says. However long that is. In the sixth place, when will it be and how? Are you listening? I'm coming now to ask two questions that affect you. Where will you be when all of this takes place? You're going to be, but where? There's only two places you can be. One is heaven and the other one hell. Revelations 22:11, "He that is unjust, let him be," that's a state of being, "let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. then everybody that'll be in hell will be unjust and they'll be filthy. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. That tells you beyond a shadow of a doubt that everybody in heaven will be righteous and they will be holy. And they're made that by the Son of God himself. The last and seventh thing is, how can I go to heaven? John chapter 14, my Lord pointed out the Father's house, heaven. And Thomas heard him. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Were it not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. On the day of Pentecost, he did come again. Down at the end, he's going to come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may be also. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus, we want to go to heaven. And how can we know the way? My Lord answered back and said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. And you and I are to put our faith and our trust in him and follow him till our little day is done. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're grateful this morning that the privilege that's ours to preach and to pray and to be used of God to bless hearts and bless souls. We're praying that every soul that's here this morning, that the Holy Ghost will give them meat in due season and bless every heart that's here. Help us, Lord, to work together, to love together, bleed together, suffer together, and move on till our little day is done and make it home to the new heavens and the new earth and that holy city where the kings, the structured society will be there, to lead the nations that are saved to see the glory of God's people in God's great tomorrow.